Welcome to Gaming and Gabbing, where video and tabletop gamers unite.
A podcast where we level up with you on our journey to ultimate nerddom. I'm your Wizard of Weird, Dayanne Hutton.
And I'm your Rogue of Realness, Amber Plaster.
And let's hit start.
Season 2, baby! I hope you loved the episode that we had last time, interviewing the one and only Stephen Chang.
I said, that's Stephen Chang, man! That's Stephen Chang.
Welcome. We are going to be talking all things The Last of Us 2. If you have not played the game, here is your spoiler warning. There are spoilers ahead. Spoilers. You can go ahead and hit pause or skip to the next episode because there are going to be spoilers. This is your last warning. Okay.
Another warning I have for you is that there will be rants. Because we have feelings. Thoughts and feelings. Emotions. I am excited to talk about this with Amber, debate this with Amber. We have kept ourselves from having too much of a conversation around it outside of this podcast because we knew we wanted to do it for the podcast. So we will do our best to remain civil. But we make no promises. Certainly Amber will not.
I will. I have been sitting on this conversation for months. And I am here. Y'all better get a drink, take a seat, and lean in. Because we're going to break down. What we're going to do right now is we're going to talk about the review on our completely perfect and unbiased response of the game. And then we're going to be talking about the general reception of the game, what's been going on because of it, and then our final thoughts on it. We're going to be talking about a lot, so please bear with us if you don't. I'll try my best to include everyone in on the basics. If you've never heard of this game before, it's a post-apocalyptic game. The first one was called The Last of Us. It came out in 2013, and you play as Joel and Ellie. And it's mostly about Joel, and then the sequel is mostly about Ellie, and Joel's story is completely finished in the first one. However, he's such a likable character, people had hoped that he'd come back for the sequel, but we didn't actually know if he would be confirmed for the sequel, so when he got killed in the sequel...
A point of much contention!
The internet went ablaze. Yeah, so people lost their minds. And started really being nasty to each other and you know, bombing Metacritic with, you know, 0 out of 10 reviews. And so it started just really pushing some buttons out there, as it does. And that's the gist, okay? That's, now you're caught up to speed.
I've been really looking forward to recording this podcast because I honestly had some really great discussions with members of my community while playing the game. I titled it, almost every title was like, after things got to the point where people had issues, like my titles were like, respectful debates welcome here, like just respect each other's opinions, but we can totally talk about stuff. And it made me feel, in my little nerdy Ravenclaw heart, it grew 3 sizes because it honestly reminded me of like being back in my honors AP IB English classes and debating books and literature with classmates. It had a very similar feel because this game is so rich with storytelling that I think it's part of why there might have been a problem with some people because they're not used to critical thinking about video game plot. Video game plots don't usually have much, like, too many layers, at least not until, you know, the more recent years. And so it's a new thing to be able to even debate it like this. And I loved it. I ate it up. I was like, yes, more of this, more of this. Let's keep on debating the like, morality and the different arcs of characters and the different, not literature uses, but I don't know. There's just so much there. It makes me happy.
Day, just to catch everyone up, where are we both at in playing the game? Are you finished with the game? And did you play the entirety of it on Twitch with your viewers?
I did. I finished At least a month ago I finished, but yeah.
God, and on survival mode too. She is fast, you guys.
Lord, no. Good I think shit. I played on normal, so I didn't go for easy, but I did normal. I did all right. I felt pretty good, honestly. I felt pretty good at video games.
I'm joking, guys. This guard is... It's a hard game. Okay. Well, it's not a hard game. It's a stressful game.
Super stressful. Yeah. I definitely did some really cool things on accident that made me look like a badass, but that were complete chance. So that was fun.
You know, some people say chance, some people say
natural
magic.
Talent. Like, it was You're just magical. Muscle memory. Like, I didn't even consciously do it.
Yeah. See?
It just happened.
There it is. It just happens with Day. You know what I'm saying? It just I'm happens a magical with being. Her. Okay, so, where I am at in the game is a little bit different. So, as you guys know, I have been playing this on my own and been recording the Let's Play for my YouTube channel. I got all the way up to the farm, and I'm just like, I want to play this with you guys. Like, there's so much to talk about. So I want to actually finish the game with you guys. So I'm going to go back and start over on Twitch and stream it there, because it's taking too long for me to upload it to YouTube. And I really love this game. And now all I want to do is talk about it. Like, all I want to do is talk about this game.
I understand.
And so that's where I've decided, and I know that we needed to talk about this on the podcast before it became completely irrelevant in pop culture, but I've almost finished the game, so I know that there is one more thing that happens. I know there's another chapter, and I know it's called Santa Barbara. So does that mean that Day is gonna spoil the ending for me, for the purpose of gaming?
I mean, that's up to you, like, if you consent to it.
Listen, okay. I do. For gaming and gabbing... For you, you beautiful listener. No pressure, Day. Ruin the game for me.
Let me get in to the right headspace.
Just let me know. Okay, so, you know, I'm playing as Abby. I'm on the farm with my cute baby and Dina.
No, Ellie.
Abby. Ellie. Oh my god! I'm so embarrassed! I was picturing Ellie.
If you think about it, they're really similar. Abby, Ellie. Like, they're both right. Really...
You're on the farm. Abby, Ellie. You have a cute little baby. You're leaving. You're betraying Dina. You're like, whatever, girl, I don't care about you. I gotta go be jealous! Or revengeful, or whatever. Yep.
You just, like, can't let it go, because therapy is not a thing in the apocalypse. And, I have something to talk about that after I summarize for you, but...
Also, shout out for Dina to, like, live through this.
Yeah, right. Well, she does leave. But, so, you go to Santa Barbara, and then you actually play as Abby again, looking for the fireflies.
Okay.
And you find an old hideout, and you get in contact with them, and you find out where they are, and you're so happy you're there with Lev, and you're stoked, and then you go out of this house, and you're immediately struck down by Santa Barbara's, like, snake gang. I forget what they're called, but they're just, you know, another gang of terrible humans doing terrible things. So Ellie gets captured, but then she is sneaky and kills them all, finds out where to go find Abby. You go to their compound, you gotta sneak through their compound, to find Abby, and then you, like, find all the prisoners, and they're like, Abby's down by the beach, they caught her trying to run away. You free them all, you go down to the beach, where Abby's basically, like, tied to a pole, like, crucifixion style, with a bunch of other dead bodies everywhere, and then I think Lev is also tied there. She's not dead. Ellie cuts them both down. Only to then, and Abby's, like, emaciated. Like, you cannot even recognize her. Her hair is buzzed off. Like, she's got no muscles. You can't recognize her at all. And then Ellie's like, cool, I just saved your life. Now fight me to the death. And you're like, what is... Ellie, come on. So then there's two boats. There's, like, two little boats, like, you've been using, and they get into the water, and Ellie's like, no, I'm not letting you go. And Abby's like, dude, I don't want to do this. I'm past this. I have moved on. I've dealt with what I needed to deal with. I don't want to fight you. And so Ellie takes a knife to Lev and is like, you're going to fight me or I'm killing Lev. So then they fight in the water and it's like this and that and this and that. Ellie's drowning Abby at one point. Abby's drowning Ellie at one point.
And you're playing as Ellie, right?
You're playing as Ellie.
Okay.
Abby bites off two of Ellie's fingers. Like, Abby just likes biting things off of people. She's done it a few times in the game. Bites off two of Ellie's fingers, and then I don't remember, but at some point, Ellie just stops and is like, leave. And so they book it out of there, and it just, like, cuts to this, you're just, like, Ellie's just, like, sobbing in the shallows of the ocean, and you, like, see her, like, the back of her, I think, sitting just, like, upset in this water, and it was very, like, symbolic in my opinion. And then you cut back to her returning to the farm, and Dina's moved out, and it's empty, and all of Ellie's stuff is in one room, and she packs a bag and walks away.
Okay.
I might have missed a few things. It's been like a month or two.
I thought it was going to be way worse than that.
Yeah.
By the way people were acting. I thought that we... Here's what I thought happened. By the way, Twitter was acting like this game was such a disappointment. I thought that the fight on the beach, because I saw pictures of them on the beach, like, fighting, and I was like, oh, man, do they both die? I thought it was going to be, like, some Romeo-Juliet shit, like, where they were just going to, like, end up... It was just going to be, a Greek tragedy, you know?
Yeah,
like, I just thought
sure.
It was just going to be them stabbing each other to the death. That's exactly what I thought was going to happen. And I thought maybe they made us play as Abby and kill Ellie, too, because that would piss me off, but, like, it's not even what happened.
No, it's not.
So, okay, explain yourselves, I guess.
What they did, which is just so brilliant from a storytelling standpoint, is by the time I got to that point in the game, Ellie had become the bad guy for me. I was like, you can't let this go. Mm. This poor woman is ravaged. She just wants to leave. She's forgiven you for all of the people you murdered that she loved. She wants to move past this, and you will not let go of this. And I was like, the Ellie I loved is dead right now. And like,
yes.
She's already dead. And if Ellie had succeeded in killing Abby, she would have been dead forever. But because she didn't kill Abby, there is a chance that the Ellie we love can come back.
Yeah, I think so.
Something just triggered in my brain that I'm remembering. Oh, there's more flashbacks between Ellie and Joel, and like him asking her to forgive him for not telling her. And she was kind of like, I am still mad at you, but like we can try, kind of a thing. And so there's also these flashbacks between Joel and Ellie, and like the fight you hear about the night before, and Joel pushing the guy, and she kind of says, you know, I'm still really mad at you, but I guess I can try to forgive you. And that happens right when she comes back and Dina's left and everything and she leaves. And to me, what this story was trying to say was like, now that was the hope. Like, Ellie was willing to try and forgive Joel for what he did, so maybe someone can forgive her for how she's been behaving. Maybe there's hope. Maybe Dina can forgive her because she was able to forgive Joel. And Tony thought they had very clearly set it up for a third game. I didn't get that feeling at all.
Well, let's review the game now that we've sort of... thank you for catching me up on the very ending of that. And I will look forward to playing that through to fruition. But what were your favorite moments of the game?
I'm trying to remember.
In no particular order.
They're probably really silly ones. Like, I loved every time Dina or Ellie called each other babe. I was just like, oh, cute. They're so cute. Call each other babe again. I loved when you were Abby and you go in to visit Owen and you get to play like the little mini game with like a suction cup bow and arrow.
Oh my god, I hated that.
I had so much fun with that.
I was just so jambled up from being so tense on the boat to get over there that I was just like, I don't want to play a game.
It's true. Honestly, the whole aquarium was beautiful. I loved, like, anytime you were in the aquarium and the little kid's hideout was so cute. And, like, the little Chris, when Owen decorates it for Christmas with all the lights, I was just like, this is so beautiful and wholesome.
The aquarium was such a great location. I love the little sea otter t-shirt that they find.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this is going to be some low-key stuff that I'm going to order on, like, Teespring or something.
Right.
I'm going to reenact that otter t-shirt, that, like, souvenir thing. Peanut the Sea Otter. And it's just a little detail in the game that I was like, I am now a fan of Peanut the Sea Otter, and no one's going to know what I'm talking about, but I love this detail. Like, this game is so detailed.
I also liked, you're, like, in a mall, like, in a broken-down mall,
mm-hmm.
but you can, like, sneak by going underwater and going to a new room. That was really fun gameplay-wise.
I felt very sneaky in that mall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a lot of options we had. And I felt finally that I was adept at, like, navigating myself. And so sure. In the mall, I felt like a badass.
As Abby, I was like, we have a crossbow? I'm here for this.
I love the crossbow. I was still worried I wouldn't have enough arrows, so I didn't use it that much.
I found, and I played our normal, and I almost felt I had too much supplies. Like, I was having to leave supplies behind because I was full up on everything.
Nice.
And I was like, this is a little too easy.
Like, well, one, you've gotten better at gaming since The Last of Us in 2015.
Oh my god, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And it's evidence of that. Also, I agree. The first game was much more challenging in terms of survivalist strategy and... I mean, I always joke about The Last of Us being the game that lets you have one bullet for the whole game. Like, it's just, there's just no ammo. And that's exactly how it would be in the apocalypse. There would be a lack. And that's what I loved about it.
I will say I was not a fan of how much more disgusting the death noises of all of the, you know, I was about to say creepers. That's Minecraft. Of all of the clickers and, like, people, like, stab them in the throat and it was, like, wet. Oh, or, like, you snap a neck and it's crunchy and wet. And I was it was so visceral. I was just like, ugh, this sounds so much grosser than the first game.
It is.
It's so nasty. Oh, and I did like the collectibles. I loved collecting the superhero cards and the quarters. I thought it was super cute. You had comic books with Ellie, the first game. And I love that translated into her now being into these, like, superhero collector's cards.
I also really enjoyed the references to space all around.
Yes!
My favorite moment
She's
of the
such
game,
a little nerd.
By far, is...
Oh, yes.
Is the birthday gift section of the game, where we do get another flashback of Joel. She finally learns how to swim.
Oh, thank God. Oh, if
We've
they
all
hadn't
been waiting
put
for that
in the game, I was going to riot.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, how long were we going to drag that out for? And I learned how to swim, and it was great. And then I got to go into outer space. And
so cool.
That scene where she steps into the spaceship and he gives her birthday gift of the cassette of the actual, not the moon landing, but it's a takeoff of some space trip. And she closes her eyes and imagines it. And I actually imagine it with her. Like, as you lift off into the stratosphere, you actually start to feel lighter. I don't know how they did this, but the team at Naughty Dog deserves all of the Oscars or whatever the equivalent is for that scene right there.
Yeah, that segment was cool too. I loved putting the hat on all the dinosaurs.
I love
and
that.
Ellie had all this space information, and there were so many dinosaur jokes, and flashbacks were really nice. There were a lot of them. Like, I would say my only problem with the game was how many times it felt like it was gonna end, and it didn't. Mm. Like, by all means, I love the franchise, I love the game, give me a longer game, but, like, don't tease me with three different this is the ends, because then I did almost start to feel like it was too long because they had quote unquote ended it so many times. Yeah. I was like, okay, when do we finish? Like the whole Santa Barbara section, I would have been so happy if the game had just ended at the farm with them happily ever after. But I realized there was more to Ellie's arc than that would have provided. So, you know.
Well, it's interesting. It seems that, that she goes from being this source of life and hope as the immune girl to, do we want to say a villain? I mean, in Santa Barbara, she was gonna stab Lev.
She gets dark.
But she ultimately gets really didn't. Dark. So yeah. Maybe she walked away just in time?
Yeah, someone in my stream pointed something out, which I thought was really important. I had already pointed out to the people that were upset about the game. I was like, stop putting the morals we know now and have now in our world. Stop putting those morals on these people who are 30 plus years into an apocalyptic world. Mm-hmm. They no longer apply, first of all. Okay? So stop judging them off of our current morals. It's just not going to work. Someone else pointed out to me, they don't have any sort of understanding or ways of processing grief. Like, Ellie truly believes that if she kills Abby, she will feel better finally. Mm-hmm. Whereas we all know that's not true. We've gone to therapy. We've read self-help books. We have a basic understanding of, like, that's not going to make you feel better. She doesn't have that.
Also, her current circumstances and your current circumstances are different, right? You've just had breakfast, you're playing this video game, probably in an air-conditioned room with Wi-Fi, okay? She hasn't had that in years. Like, her mental state is just completely different from ours. Yeah. So she's experienced an extreme amount of trauma, and I want to be aware of that, but I still don't want to, you know, be punished as a viewer, and I didn't feel that I was. The only reason I didn't like that the game wasn't ending, like you said, it's just because I was trying to record it and stream it so fast. So I
you were just like, I need to get this.
Yeah, I was so excited to talk about it with everyone and not spoil it and, you know, just kind of get the thing done as a creative project for something that I was really wanting to break down. And that was really what rushed me through it. But I agree. I don't like fake endings. I can never, ever complain about a game that's too short.
I see your point of, like, we're playing in our air conditioning in our totally different rooms. But, like, even just looking at the other characters in the game that are just able to better process their emotions, like, they have Dina, where she's like, I'm not over this Jesse thing, but, like, I'm talking about it because it lifts this weight off of me. And Ellie just, like, refuses to listen to that. Mm. And you have even Abby moves past it. She's like, listen, I've just been captured for who knows, like, I don't remember how long. She's like, I'm done with this feud. This feud is no longer worth it. Like, she's able to move on. Whereas Ellie is just so stuck because she just believes with all her being that as soon as she kills Abby, everything's gonna be better. She just has this childlike view of it all.
I mean, she's experienced so much trauma that I don't think she has progressed a lot emotionally, which does again explain why her and Dina got together so quickly and bonded so quickly, because it really bothered me that, like, after 3 days of seeing each other, they were, like, married.
Well, but did you read their, if you read her journal, they've been best friends, like, the whole time she was in Jackson.
Yeah, so that wasn't immediately clear to me, but I got over it because Dina grew on me. I'm telling you, at first I was kind of like, what is happening? Like, you just broke up with your boyfriend. He's great, and she's still flirting with him. Why are you bringing... All right. But then I thought, you know what? It's the apocalypse. She's cold. You know, like...
She's cold!
Beggars can't be choosers. Listen, I don't know. I don't know why she chose Dina, but she did. And I'm glad she did, because she grew on me, and she ended up being a wonderful help to the whole journey. But at first, I was not a fan.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Dina. If there was a clicker that you were stalking to, like, shank, Dina was right there shanking the second one. Like, dope. That was
she didn't feel
really
useless.
Intense. Yeah, she was really useful, mm-hmm. which was so nice. So again, like I said, you cannot put today's morals on these people. It's a totally different world, and I really appreciate what they did because they, you know, the whole first half of the game, Abby is the enemy, and then at the end, for me, Ellie was the enemy. I was like, leave her alone. Mm-hmm. She's over this. Like, let it go. I was so scared yeah. that Ellie was going to kill her. I was like, if Ellie kills her, Ellie's lost. And I didn't want that.
Well, I think that's what Tony is speaking to of it being an open-ended thing because
maybe
it leaves yeah. room for her redemption arc now.
Yes, it does. It does.
Do I think we need another The Last of Us? No.
I don't.
But if there's a third one, would I be interested in it from a few years from now?
Yeah.
For sure.
For me and in my chat, the discussion it brought up with the gray area of life, of like, who is the bad guy? And that's what, to me, the controversial switching of characters and switching over to Abby, I thought it was fascinating from a storytelling standpoint of like, okay, now you're going to live your life as Abby and see what's going on here. And I had some people who felt like the game was, they said, forcing them to sympathize with her. And I was like, listen, the game's not forcing you to do anything. It's merely showing you her side. If you're suddenly sympathizing with her, that's on you, not the game. Like, the game is just showing you her side of the story.
I mean,
and if you are feeling...
I felt like I was forced to be her and do things I didn't want to do, you know?
Yes.
But I got over that pretty quickly just because life, for me, I don't always get to do all the things I want to do. So...
Right.
I'm used to that.
I just
so like it's just was fine.
Yeah, I just think it brought up an interesting thing of like, for me, the discussion was there. None of these characters are the good guy, and none of these characters are the bad guy. What I kept saying to people who came into my chat having problems with it was, Ellie and Joel are not good guys. They've killed so many people. Not all of them probably deserved it. Like, the first game and in the second game, the amount of people you're murdering, they're not good people. They're just the people we're rooting for. And so now...
They're just the people that are left.
Yeah. And they're the last of us, you know? And then that's what you do with Abby. You see her side and you're like, oh, she's not like a bad person. Yes, she killed Joel, which is a bad thing, but then you find out why, and you're like, all just these people trying to survive in this uninhabitable world.
That being said, to speak on our other favorite moments, I do love Abby's bit where she's rescuing Lev and Yara, kind of teaching Lev the Skywalk. I thought that was so cool and so unexpected, and it just felt like a game within a game. And it felt very...
You're talking about when they're really high up? Oh, I was so bad at that part.
I think I was too, but like I remember just looking around and being like enthralled by like, I'm not in Seattle anymore. I'm in the clouds. This is nuts. Like what happens if I run across and fall off here at this point? Can I jump? Like I started getting excited to see like what I could and couldn't do in that part of the game. It was almost towards the end of the game. And I was like, man, I could play a whole game just as like Lev and...
It's towards what you thought was the end of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like it's actually in the middle of the game. I'm like, I feel like there's a lot after that.
There is. But it's pretty good into the game to where you're like, wow, there's so much to this city being unfolded and we haven't even gotten to the island yet. Like, it's just... I loved playing the guitar.
Yes. Oh, that was such a cool integration.
The transition as soon as she starts strumming to the flashback. Chef's kiss. Yeah. Perfect.
Yep. And people were going in there and just like playing any song they knew on the guitar because they made it so expansive.
Wow.
Like people were just playing other songs and sitting there and hanging out. I thought that was so cool for music lovers.
Wow.
Like, what a cool little thing to add.
I really liked exploring the synagogue. I've never been inside a synagogue before. So I grew up definitely, you know, in Christian churches. And really having a good experience with that. I know a lot of people have had bad experiences with church, but I had good experiences. And I've never been to a synagogue, and I've been so curious as to what it looks like. So not only did I get to explore that, but I got to explore it with Dina and tell me a little bit more about why
it's meaningful. Yeah, she's like telling you about it.
Yeah. I don't know why I enjoy that so much, but I felt like I was virtually kind of exploring something for the first time. So it that was unexpected in a way. And
you were learning.
I was learning and growing. I hated the boat. Hated the boat.
Boat.
You have to get on a boat when it starts raining, and you have to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boat. Mm.
Not fun. Although, I will say, the accessibility controls made all the difference in the world for me once I started utilizing them. It made the boat a lot easier to deal with, and it made the motion sickness when I was riding the horse in the beginning a lot better, too.
Tony discovered on the accessibility controls, there's like an item ping that you could like crouch and hold a button down, and it would like ping out a certain area, and if there was an item nearby, it would light up and you could make sure you found it. Big fan.
It was like having the focus in Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, or the scan in Detroit Become Human.
Yes! Ugh, so good. But it's actually useful in this game because everything's like dusty and dark.
Yeah, so. And someone, it was funny, someone in my chat was like, I was playing as Abby and army crawling on the ground and setting that off, and someone was like, I'm just picturing Abby screaming into the ground and using sonar to find these things.
Oh my god. But seriously though, they do have over like 60 new accessibility That's controls, so, cool. So you can tell they actually tried to make everyone feel really included, especially the blind and the colorblind. They have a lot of really cool options in there, so definitely check them out. I personally thought that Joel was gonna die.
Yeah. There was no way one of them wasn't dying.
It was pretty obvious to me that he's older, time has passed. Listen, I mean, his story has been done.
That was the first game.
Guys, I love Joel. I love Joel. And you know when Joel's life story was done? When he had Sarah. Do you remember his first daughter?
Do go on.
His life was done. He had done all the things, he had lived a full life, and then lost his daughter, and then went on this adventure. So his story's done. He lived his life, and then some. He lived his life and helped out with the apocalypse. Like, he lived a very full life. Did I want to see him be tortured? No. But, like, there's nothing else to mine out of that story. You knew it was going to be about Ellie growing up because we didn't even know that Joel was going to be in the E3 teaser trailer. People started crying when they heard his voice because they weren't sure if he was going to be there. Thus, everyone knew it wasn't his story. So I don't really want to hear this argument about Joel's death not meaning anything because you knew it. He had to die at some point. Wouldn't you rather him have a hero death? I don't know. It's not like he died off screen in a toilet somewhere.
True. Very true. He did not do that.
How you would probably normally die in the apocalypse to just get catching tetanus and not being able to get to antibiotics. They made it more exciting.
True.
Listen, the game is challenging. The game is terrifying and intense. And you have every right to have feelings for Joel.
But honestly, if you didn't think this was coming, like, I don't know what...
Like, I don't know how to help you. Like, I don't know how to make it more...
Like, this wasn't going to be a 20-hour game plain. Of Joel and Ellie holding hands and shooting zombies together. Like, you wouldn't have liked that.
No.
So,
you got to shoot zombies, and you got... I mean, listen, I know there was a lot of complaints about Abby being super buff and that women can't really be that strong or something.
You can go take long walk off a short
pier. But how many video games? I get that. And she is distractingly large for some reason. I don't understand. Like, honestly, the first time I started, I was like, oh my god, your shoulders are big. And I thought, oh, like, man, the characters in this game have really wide rib cages. And I was kind of, like, looking at the way she walked. I was like, wow, I guess I didn't notice that. Like, I guess they just have different styles from, like, Life is Strange or something. And then I kept watching her. I was like, no, she's gigantic. Okay. They made Abby gigantic on purpose. And it made a lot of people angry. Because we're used to seeing very slender, svelte, sexy women on screen. When we see anything else, we think it's horrifying. And I think it's such a good example of that because even I was caught off guard and I was like, oh my God. Like, I was just like, whoa, who is this giant, like Brienne of Tarth style? Like, she was just like noticeably huge and ripped. And it was kind of like, everyone was like, where'd you get steroids in the apocalypse? But the thing is, she was crafted after a real CrossFit person, and you would be super fit in the apocalypse, and she was well-trained, and there are women that do look like that. We're just not used to seeing them on screen. And I needed that reminder.
As did you all.
Who was your favorite NPC, Dan?
I'm biased, because it was definitely Jesse, but I feel like it might have been Jesse, even if I didn't know the voice actor. I'm not sure, but goddamn, I loved Jesse. I was so mad when he got shot in the face.
Spoilers. Me too. I was really hoping there would be, like, a chance to go back in time and change that. I was just like, no! Like, it was just such a, like, God, don't take it's that character upsetting. From us and don't make me feel so helpless about it. It just, I felt so helpless. Ugh. Because I was able to kill so many other people, like, or at least, like, you know, try to negotiate and get it, like, just so quick, just gone, just like that. So mad. I think my favorite NPC that didn't even exist would be Eugene.
Oh, ha! Oh, that's so funny. I see that.
Listen, Eugene is a, technically a non-payable character.
He's talked about, I mean, he's dead in the game,
Yeah,
his influence is around.
But I was hoping when I met him, when I heard of him, that he was not dead. And I kept looking forward to meeting him. And I kind of hope he's in Santa Barbara somewhere because he sounds great. He sounds like a cool dude.
Yeah, he's...
You know? I also love Jesse. Jesse was really cool. I definitely would not choose Dina because she annoyed me at first. I love Dina. And she's just too logical. You know, she's like, we should stay inside and be safe. And I'm like, Dina, get out of here. So, like, it just wasn't my style, you know. Also, Shimmer.
Don't even bring that up, please.
I know how.
I was literally...
The moment I met...
Kept ranting about how if they killed another horse, I was going to be so upset.
I knew they were going to do it. The second they gave Shimmer a name, I was like, well, we're going to kill the horse. And yet... I was still shocked when it happened.
Yeah, 'cause they blew it up. Speaking of animals dying, making us unhappy, I was truly pissed that we had to kill dogs. I felt morally against it. I tried with every fiber of my being not to, and then the game makes you kill one.
I hated it, and I thought there was actually going to be a lot more backlash on the internet for that.
We all knew about it, though. We've known about it for, like, a year.
Than anything else?
Like,
oh,
it was,
okay. But it was different experiencing it.
It was, like, awful.
To hear their, like, little whimpers and stuff, and I was just like, I can't
Yeah, and then
this.
I would go watch Tony play, because I watched him play through a lot of it, and Tony doesn't, he's just like, shoot that dog in the face, knife that dog in the chest, shoot that dog in the face. I was like, stop it, please! I hate this!
I did not like it. I was just like, shoot, run, shoot, run. Like, I didn't take pleasure in it, but I was like, let's get this over with, because the second one dog knows where I am, he's gonna call the others, and then I'm gonna have to hurt more people, so if I can sneak attack my way through here. And also, it sucks because the way that I play is, I'm a little bit of a completionist in that I go counterclockwise around the room or the set that I'm on for the game. And I try, when I'm in The Last of Us, to sneak attack every single one of them and not use any of my ammo. So you can't sneak attack anybody when there's dogs, because they won't let you go slowly. So Amber's not good at going in a rush anywhere. And so those dogs had to die. I did not enjoy it. Apparently now I'm a dog murderer. Congratulations, we all are.
I was just like, this is the apocalypse. Can't you be all like, have some mad scientist who's created like mutant monkeys? I wouldn't feel bad about killing mutant monkeys that you've, like, I would be putting them out of their misery.
Or, like, robo-dogs.
Yeah, or, like, yeah, robo-dogs. Like, or like, a be able to switch it on and off, and, like, maybe you just have people that have really good sense of smells. They're, like, rabid kind of berserker types.
Ooh, replace it with humans on leashes, and then it will be just as scary when you shoot them in the face.
So I'm like, I will kill humans all day long. Stop making me kill animals. Like, just makes me feel atrocious. It made me angry at the game. It was the only thing that made me angry at the game.
It makes me very uncomfortable, and it should also make you uncomfortable. But I guess it's something that's not really been done before.
I feel like there's plenty of video games where you have to kill animals. Dogs,
though?
Probably. I feel like there's gotta be. Okay. You do...
Everyone's gonna be tweeting us, like, videos of people.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Now they're like, look, here it is! Don't do that, please.
Afterwards, okay. But Ghost of Tsushima has...
Spoilers! Let me ask you this. I used some of the accessibility controls for my motion sickness. Did you use any of the accessibility controls in the game? How was the playability?
Just the pinging one.
I used also the auto pickup of supplies. Again, it made it way too easy of a game for me. But it's because I was rushing to get it posted as quickly as possible. And it did save me a lot of time. So I didn't have to, like, spend time going, like, oh, shoot, did I check the second floor for this, this, and this?
Ran through.
Would go through a house and be like, bam, got it. I like that as an option. And no shame in anybody for using it. There's no wrong way to play a game. Do you think there's going to be a Last of Us 3?
I don't know, man. Like we said, I don't think there needs to be... I didn't initially get that feeling when I finished.
I think it is set up for there to be one should they want to do it.
Yeah. Just in case.
I think it'll be similar to this sequel in that it will be the end of Ellie's story.
And the beginning of someone else's.
And the beginning of someone else's. And I think that person will likely be Lev.
I think it would be Dina's baby.
Or Dina's baby, which would be super cool, because then Stephen Chang would have to come
back.
Because he's the father. Flashbacks, obviously.
I also really enjoyed how Abby and Lev and their relationship became very much juxtaposed to Joel and Ellie. It was very much this protector-parent-child relationship, and that they would do anything for each other.
And they were interesting characters, too. I love how he says cool. Like, he's learning slang.
Oh, yeah, she's teaching him slang. That was great. That was great.
He's like, freezing. She's like, you mean cool. He's like,
yeah. Lev is precious. Must be protected. Even though Lev can take care of himself.
Most protected all
pretty well. I was actually really pissed when Yara died. Because I was like, that was like... hours of gameplay getting you medicine to save your life, and now you're dead. Like, you know, when you, like, go to the hospital so they can cut off her arm, and then she just dies. I was like, well, that was all for nothing. Cool. That was annoying. Yeah.
I didn't love that, but I was kind of used to things going wrong, so I was just kind of like, at least it wasn't left.
Yeah, I really liked, I liked both of them. Yara was great. And also, yay for trans representation in the game, though I do know there was some, like, complaints over the amount of transphobia around the character, and it's like, and, like, the discussion of why can't we have a trans character without it being about, like, people being mad that they're trans.
Because we're not past that as a society yet, and we need to address it until it's done. Like, it would be nice if we could pretend we're past it, but there are still people out there that think that that is a sin, and, like, we need to work through that. So
we
it's
do
a
need
discussion.
To work through it. And you know, go play Tell Me Why, because that is a game with a trans character who's never dead-named.
Dead-named?
That is when someone uses transgender person's original name that they have since changed. And it's considered, like, really rude to call them by it or use it. So, Tell Me Why is great. No dead naming. Go play that if you're looking for a game with a good, solid transgender character. I support it. But
love
yeah.
It.
And I know Amber's obsessed with Alexander, who voiced Lev.
I I am. Ian Alexander.
I'm sorry, Ian Alexander.
He also just got a huge role on Star Trek, and I'm just obsessed with him.
Congrats.
Follow him on Instagram, you guys. He's just perfect. I'm obsessed with him. So, what was the most surprising moment of The Last of Us for you?
I feel like there were a lot of surprising things in the game. Most
for me, it was shooting the dog in the aquarium.
Oh, okay.
Like right when you open the door, and it's like it's not just a dog; it's a dog that like is a pet that you then later interact with. Like that was nuts.
I think maybe Ellie like just murdering Owen and oh my god, I just had her name, Mel, in like cold blood. Ellie slitting Mel's throat was like a lot for me. And then she has a panic attack because she realizes Mel was pregnant. And you're like, oh my god, Ellie, you have no soul right now. I also thought it was really stupid for Mel to struggle with her in that moment. I was like, really, Mel? Wasn't a fan of Mel.
I wasn't either.
Apologies to Ashley Birch. Mel was just boring and annoying.
Yeah, her character was unfortunate. She was a bit of a wet blanket, and I didn't want her to be hurt, but I also didn't want her to be around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. So
I would say I had two big jump scares in the game. For me personally, one was when we were right after the birthday gift, and we walked to the other side of the building, and we start see the scarier side of the building, and you're just like walking through and you're seeing the spray paint and stuff, and you open to the next room and there's just these three wolves like looking at you, and they're just mannequins, but the way they're set up and with the music, I jumped and I screamed, girl. It was so scary. And then I was so mad at myself because I was like, man,
that was I got really nothing. Scared at a stupid moment of just like I opened a bathroom door and a zombie like jumped out at me from like one of the stalls. But that was one of the moments where I did something cool on accident. I got scared and screamed and jumped and headshotted it.
Oh, beautiful.
It's one of my more prouder
Look at
moments.
You leveling up.
And one of my more prouder clips I have. Just like
hell yeah. I was not that fortunate. And died several times. So the other one was this terrible sewer path that Ellie is alone trying to crawl through this area, and really the only way out is like through this like watery sewer, and as she's going there's an infected kind of stuck in the pipe wall reaches out at her, and she flashes to see Joel's face, and as somebody with PTSD, that is exactly what it feels like. And it hurt me. Oh. I was like, wow, hats off for getting that right. Wow. And also the other surprise for me would be when that walker in the hotel, I think, was on the wall and it actually started to come out that one time.
Oh, there's a few of those that are just stuck in the walls. They reminded me of Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, on the ship when they're all like crusted into the sides of the ships. It's so weird.
I was like, you changed the
rules. I know.
I thought they were safe if they were on the wall.
I started like looking at walls and like shooting at things that started looking like faces. Like, I don't want this.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I thought that I just remembered this part. When Abby is at the bottom bottom level of the hospital, and there's that big meaty monster that comes after you. That whole section reminded me of Resident Evil, which was kind of cool for me. But also, that section was terrifying because you're just like running around.
I was gonna say, what do you mean it was cool for you? That was the scariest part.
It was terrifying.
I guess it's not the final boss fight, but it's the final like zombie boss.
It's the biggest zombie thing you fight. It was huge.
It's so creepy, the descending into that area. I hated every second of that. I hated it so much, but I am proud that I got through it relatively quickly. Because I think maybe so much like uncomfortability forces you to just like kill quicker.
Sure.
And I think that's what I do. I did enjoy hunting the scars, being like, oh, okay, you hurt children, I will murder you all.
Yeah.
Without anything other than my bare hands. So, like, the first time I went around and I just slowly picked off every single one of them from that, like, garden area.
Sure.
Where they were. It took hours. It took
This
so
is the
long.
Real reason her playthrough for YouTube's taken so long. Amber sneak attacks everyone.
It takes me a long time.
I just go running in, guns blazing. I love a good Molotov cocktail. My MO is throw a bottle, gather the evils, throw a Molotov, kill like five at once. It's my favorite thing.
It's a stellar strategy. I use that a lot for the Shamblers, but I swear to God, the Shambler and the Aquarium would not die for anything. And the, like, arcade.
Oh, the arcade,
over the ocean,
yeah.
Sorry.
That one took a while, yeah. Too. And the longer you take, then more starts spawning, and you're like, ah!
Yes! Salt on the wound, oh, man. Ooh. Like, come on. That part was very stressful for me. But I think the more skilled players, the arcade scene is definitely for you. And learning your combos, if you like God of War and all of that, there are definitely a few of those scenes for you in that. And I respect that. And I had to hold on and get through it. And I did.
Proud of you.
I feel like a stronger gamer for it. I feel cleansed. I feel whole, having to finally been able to just discuss everything about The Last of Us 2. I loved it. I cried. I laughed. It became a part of me. And it turns out I wasn't wrong. The internet was just being a little bitch. So.
Yeah, it was.
If you're saying that The Last of Us 2 ruined your childhood or whatever it is you're going on about, you need to take a seat.
Your childhood was... Yeah. This is what I said, is I was like, you can come into my stream and tell me you don't like this game. That is fine. That is valid. You're allowed to have it.
Discourse
what
is
you can't
allowed.
Do, yeah, what you can't do is come in here and tell me it's a bad game, because it's not. You're lying, your feelings are hurt, and you're just lashing out. Like, let's all be adults. We're not children here. You can dislike the game. You can't say it's a bad game. It is beautifully written. Very well done. You are wrong.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear anything about the story having plot holes or anything like that. And you like Star Wars? Are you kidding me? There are plot holes in every franchise. It is still an excellent, engrossing, fantastic, life-changing franchise of a game. So, no. No. And they didn't even kill each other at the end. So I don't know what you guys... I don't know. It's not you guys. Obviously, it's not the, it's
well,
not the people listening.
Well, that's what people are
here.
Upset about. People were mad that Ellie didn't kill Abby. And I'm like... Really? You're cold.
I get being annoyed that you like spent all this energy and then you didn't get a payoff, but it's the right thing to do if you think about it. And I think that's what this game does, is it makes you think about the whole story. That's why it's so fun to talk about with people. Like, oh, did you play it? Who did you like playing? You know, like when I realized I was playing the bad guy, it was like, I don't know, mind explosion. Like, I was like, oh.
This is how it went for me. It switched, and I went, oh, I'm playing as Abby? I don't want to play as Abby. That sucks. 5 minutes later, I was over it. Like, you know, once I figured out who her dad was, I was like, oh boy, let's go. This is a getting good.
Yeah.
I was like stoked to be playing as Abby. Once I found out the connection, I was like, oh, naughty dog, you naughty dog.
It's justified, you know? I would go psycho too if I was in the apocalypse and you killed my dad, who also happened to have the only cure for all of humanity. I mean, listen. So, would you recommend everyone play The Last of Us 2? Who do you think The Last of Us 2 is for?
I would recommend it to everyone who can handle that level of gore and trauma. Like, if you're gonna be triggered by, you know, PTSD or...
No, I mean, it's not a joke. It did trigger me. And I'm sharing with you guys my experience because it was an incredible game. And I've been to therapy for years and years and years. But like, well, this game is intense. And don't mess around with it if you're not feel if you're not feeling good, girl. It's 2020. You put this game on the shelf for 5 more years until you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got your shit together and you won't get triggered. Then go do it.
Yeah, so I would say recommend it to everyone who is, like, in a mental space capable of handling it, because it is very heavy. It is a lot.
I would say play the game if you love a story-driven game, if you love seeing a diverse cast, and you like seeing something different. If you liked Detroit Become Human, if you liked Bandersnatch, things like that that challenge your morality, I love discussing that kind of stuff. So if you're into that, definitely check out the game. If you're looking for something a little bit more gratuitous, maybe check out Uncharted. Maybe that's more your style. Or maybe God of War is more your style. But I think it's an absolutely ambitious work of art. And even though it's depressing to play it during a real pandemic, I am still glad that we got to discuss this game today.
I mean, I'm not running from any clickers or, you know, runners or stalkers or bloaters or shamblers, so I didn't feel too like, ooh, this is too close to home right now. Like, this is really different than our current situation. The week clip here. Jody Steele.
If this is your first time listening to Gaming and Gabbing, thank you so much for being here. If you want to support us on Patreon, we have one at patreon.com/gaminginnasandnancygabbing. And we will be back with another episode soon. Special shout out to our patrons, Jared, Joseph, Jason, Mark, and Elias. You are effervescent, magnificent, justified, and what's a good J? Jelly.
Jolly!
There we go. So, take that and run with it. you can keep the conversation going with us at any time on all the social medias at Gaming and Gabbing on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me, Amber Plaster, at Amber Plaster on all social media. I stream on Twitch and YouTube, and I have an Instagram, and I talk on Twitter every day. So, holler at me. Day, where can they keep the conversation going with you?
Well, they can find me at Daybraham_Lincoln on both Instagram and Twitch. That's D-A-Y-E. And Dayanne Hutton on Twitter. Thank you guys so much. It was really, really awesome to finally get all of these thoughts and feelings out of our brains and into your ears.
I feel lighter.
Yeah.
What's up next for the next episode? Do you remember?
Next time, episode 3, where we interview Toru Masamune, a voice actor and screen actor who the fight coordinators listed. Yeah, he's listed as a stunt coordinator. And he also talks to us about the Twitch show Artificial that Stephen Chang was a part of.
That's Stephen Chang.
Oh, small world.
He's also Shredder in the Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. So you want to tune in because this guy's done it all and he's such a character. He's great.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye, baby!
Bye!